All right, you want to start this?
Sure. Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Sean Keiser, new manager of fearthewall.com, and here I'm joined by Nick Capados. Hello, Nick. How's it going?
It's good. How you doing, Sean?
You know, pretty well outside of Borussia Dortmund. It's been a while since we've had a podcast, and it's rather unfortunate that we finally have a podcast after rather unfortunate circumstances. So I'm sure I don't need to remind everybody that this weekend saw the very unfortunate 5-1 defeat at the hands of VfB Stuttgart. And following that, Borussia Dortmund fired manager Lucien Favre after a few years of up and downs, I'd say. And it's going to have big repercussions for Borussia Dortmund this season. And especially over the summer and for years to come, probably. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I would say so. You said it yourself. Couple up and down years with Favre. It definitely felt like peaks and valleys, and they were both very extreme. Either Dortmund was just dominating everyone in front of them, or they were losing to teams that they definitely should never lose to, or drawing teams that they should have beaten. And, you know, you're absolutely right. Like, it's going to be this big cloud hanging over the club for the rest of the season. And, you know, in a period where the Bayern are just this machine, RB Leipzig have become like a legitimate title contender, Leverkusen are top of the table somehow. Dortmund, Zorc and Watzke and everyone there needs to get this right. They need to get this decision right, or else Dortmund are in trouble.
You know, I think you're right. You talk about peaks and valleys. I mean, I think back to the first half season of Favre's his tenure here. We were top of the league. We were crushing teams. I remember that 3-2 win against Bayern at the Westfalenstadion with Paco Alcacer.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh my God. I remember that Paco goal. It was like I was riding back on a bus trip with the volleyball team that I was covering from their conference tournament, watching that game on like a shady stream. And I was like, as soon as Paco scored that goal, I was like bouncing up and down in my seat, like, yes. I'm sure I freaked the coaches out, but like that feeling of, oh my God, we're turning a corner.
Yeah,
was spectacular.
Yeah,
and then the second half of the season happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in the end, that's really going to epitomize Favre's tenure here with Borussia Dortmund. You know, such promise and potential of the first half of that season, followed by a disappointing second half. You know, we had something similar this year where, you know, really only a few weeks ago, I mean, we were just crushing opponents left and right. Hertha Berlin. Club Brugge.
Yeah.
So we defeated Schalke, Zenit, Club Brugge, Arminia, Bielefeld. I mean, and to be honest, we didn't play that poorly against Bayern.
No, I thought the Bayern match was a step in the right direction, at least in terms of matches against the big boys.
And then either the Super Cup or the Bundesliga, and then one draw, a win, and then a disastrous defeat later. I mean, that's really all it took. So we come out of the international break, right? We beat Hertha Berlin 5-2. Everything's looking great. We follow it up in the midweek with a 3-0 win over Club Brugge. You're thinking, okay, here we go. So it all started to go wrong with the 2-1 loss to FC Köln, who, you know, they had not won a match to that point in the Bundesliga, but it really, that didn't really reflect on their performances. Like, they lost, for example, they lost to Bayern earlier in the year, but they had actually played pretty well, and they'd had a few performances where, you know, they had, like, destroyed their opponents' unexpected goals, but they just got really unlucky. So I think, you know, for the most part, well, none of us were obviously happy with a loss to a team that at the time was in the relegation zone. You know, we kind of just thought, okay, these things happen. And we were without, or what we did have on, but, you know, I guess we just figured things happen. And then we played Lazio, in the midweek, and that was our first match without Erling Haaland. We drew 1-1, which, you know, that's acceptable. Lazio are a really good team, even if they're underperforming in Serie A so far this year.
Yeah, they've still got a really good side, so there's no shame. It stunk at the time, but I think a point against Lazio at home, so that I think adds to the frustration. But regardless, a draw against Lazio, you know, respectable.
And then the draw against Eintracht Frankfurt, which is another, you know, Frankfurt, even though in the Bundesliga they are underperforming this year, I think we all know that there's plenty of talent on that side with, you know, Sebastian Rode, Philipp Kostic, Hinteregger, Andre Silva. You know, it's not exactly a weak team, even though I think they're, like, well out of competition for Europe right now. So, you know, that's acceptable. And then we beat Zenit 2-1 without Haaland, which, honestly, that was a pretty big morale booster. But
I would agree, yeah.
It all came crashing down on Saturday with, wow, a real disastrous 5-1 defeat. Not only did Dortmund lose in, you know, 5-1 on the score sheet, but they were just completely played off the pitch. I mean, really, from the first minute, when I was writing my match observations, I was kind of going through, I was watching the replay on ESPN Plus, and I was finding instances where Dortmund were penned into their own half. And I remember it was like the first minute, 20 seconds, turnover, first minute, 40 seconds, turnover, 2 minutes, 10 seconds, turnover that leads to a shot, you know, 3 minutes, 40 seconds, turnover. It was like, it was constant. And, you know, in the article, I did a bit of a tactical breakdown of where I thought the problems lied or laid. Mm-hmm. Lied? I don't know.
Lied.
Where they were.
Sure.
And So maybe we can sort of use this as a segue into what exactly went wrong and how it ended up being that Lucien Favre got fired. And I just think the answer is that basically without Erling Haaland, we've had 5 really mediocre performances in a row, and it kind of reflects back on, you know, how we were struggling last season and the second half of his first year. And I don't know, just with Lucien Favre, there just tends to be periods of play where he just can't figure it out, and other teams figure out our system and are able to take advantage of us.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I've noticed that in a lot of games, you know, win, lose, or draw, defenses like to prevent a lot of low crosses that I think, you know, Jadon Sancho, Marco Reus, even Torgan Hazard, Gio Reyna, they've been, you know, very well known to do, just to slip in those cutbacks or those direct low crosses right across the face of goal into the path of Erling Haaland. And teams have been starting to key on that this year, but, you know, Erling Haaland is Erling Haaland, so he's still gonna like bully his way to those chances. But without him on the pitch, they're trying to jam a square peg into a round hole, like trying to use what worked before but with different players. And, you know, a lot of players don't have Erling Haaland's skill set or his, you know, tactical acumen of when to make the run, where to make the run, how to make the run. So it was just, you know, well, we've tried this one way and it's not working. We're all out of ideas. And that, you know, that lands back at the feet of Lucien Favre.
Yeah, and, you know, in my breakdown, I kind of talked about how the way that Dortmund set up, you know, so there were three at the back, Emre Can, Mats Hummels, and Manuel Akanji, with fullbacks, Mateo More and Rafael Guerrero, Bellingham, and Witsel in midfield. And, you know, basically, Stuttgart sort of did a pretty good job of sort of pressing the center. So, like, they never let Mats Hummels have the ball, right? Because Tanguy Koulibaly
right.
would press.
I noticed
that. And Hummels would either pass the ball to Emre Can or Manuel Akanji on either side of him. And once that happened, it's kind of tough to describe without, like, a formation tracker or something mm-hmm. like that. But basically, Stuttgart were able to sort of close in on whoever was in possession of the corner so that they basically were making it so that Dortmund could either go long or try to force really bad passes to somebody like Jude Bellingham and Axel Witsel. And honestly, mm-hmm. especially Jude Bellingham, I felt really bad for him because he was going all over the pitch. And every time he received a ball, he was just surrounded by, you know, three or four Stuttgart players. And
they really put a clamp down on our central midfield.
Yeah.
Like in addition to the press, like cornering, preventing the defense from really like getting settled with those passes. They forced a lot of unsettled passes from that back line and Roman Bürki. And what passes did get through to the center midfield, like Stuttgart were just swarming them. It was I do not think Dortmund could match that speed of the Stuttgart press.
Yeah, and so up front, you know, we had Royce, Sancho, and Gio Reyna. And, you know, Sancho and Reyna, they're not the slowest players in the world, but they're not particularly quick. They certainly don't have Erling Haaland's pace. And
right.
Marco Royce, you know, I personally really do think he's lost a step or two. So basically when that's happening, your players constantly have to drop deeper and deeper to receive the ball. And when you do that, you're basically, you know, constricting the pitch. You're allowing Stuttgart to stay further up, and you're not putting any pressure on their back line. You know, if we had Haaland, you know, maybe Mats Hummels could pick up the ball and he could just launch it towards Haaland and he could pick it up and he could beat one of Stuttgart's center backs in a one-on-one. But frankly, you know, at this point, we don't really have many players who are able to do that. Rafael Guerrero was able to he was able to do that once and it resulted in a phenomenal goal from Gio Reyna. But, you know, it's not particularly easy and it's not repeatable. So,
So that's like asking a quarterback to throw 60-yard passes every chance they get. When, you know, like the nice little dinks and dunks, the intermediate passes, those are what, you know, get you down the field and put you in scoring position.
Yeah, so, you know, personally, I would have liked to see, there were a couple things I would have liked to see. I just didn't think Axel Witsel had a great game, and you know, maybe that's a subject for another podcast. I think his decline is one of the big reasons for some of Dortmund's struggles this season. But I think he had a poor game. I would have liked to see Can a bit further forward. I think he's always kind of looked uncomfortable at right center back. I remember in the first match against Lazio, that was one of the biggest disaster areas. Him and Meunier just had no chemistry at all. I probably would have liked Chan in midfield with Bellingham, and then I would have had probably somebody like Dahoud or Delaney in midfield just to make sure that it's not like 4-on-2 or 3-on-2. I would make it.
Yeah. The problem is that Dortmund are, at the moment, they have a bit of an injury crisis, so it would have been nice to have seen guys like, you know, even Dahoud, Thomas Delaney, maybe like a more fully fit Rafa Guerrero, or even like Meunier for defense. Those guys just straight up weren't available. So we were, left with what we had
Yeah, and a quick
out there.
point on Tomas Meunier. A lot of people were criticizing him, and I mean, honestly, just there was a ton of vitriol towards him in the early weeks of the season, and I think it's pretty clear now that, maybe he's not the root cause of our problems.
Because he's a World Cup. He's played in multiple World Cups. Like, he's won championships, won trophies with PSG, one of the top teams in the world. Whatever you think about Ligue 1, he's still playing for this top level team, competing in Champions League, winning trophies. You don't suddenly just turn to, pardon my language, you don't just suddenly turn to shit going from one team to another, unless it's the what you're being asked to do, the tactics.
Yeah, so anyway, so I think the loss on against Stuttgart on Saturday really kind of just summarizes a lot of the constant frustrating problems we've had with Lucien Favre for a long time. There were some pretty glaring tactical issues, and not only did he not really fix them, because his eventual move was to bring on Reinier Jesus for Emre Can, which I just thought was baffling. But,
Yeah, that really confused me in the moment too.
as bad as Dortmund were in the first half, it was 1-1. Dortmund were in a great position to come out in the second half and take the game from Stuttgart and go on and get 3 points. And instead, Dortmund came out. They capitulated within the first 10 minutes of the second half.
They imploded. It was an
Yeah,
implosion.
Favre subs off Emre Can. Within 60 seconds, Stuttgart scored. And then, we saw the heads go down. We saw the eyes glaze over. And I think at that point, you just kind of knew it was going to get ugly. And it did. It did get ugly.
Sure did.
But it's an unfortunate end. I personally, I never really hated Lucien Favre. I always thought he was, he seemed like a decent guy. I thought his tactics could be, they had their ups and downs like everything else. The way he was able to like figure out a brand new system with a back three last year, it was pretty good and it solved a lot of our problems. The players seemed to like him, but at the end of the day, he never really seemed to have that galvanizing spirit that somebody like Jurgen Klopp has. I think back to the Amazon documentary. There's a clip of him being interviewed right after we lost to Bayern 6-0 or 6-1 or whatever the scoreline was, and he's just asked, is the title race done? Is it over? And he's like, yes, it's over. And in reality,
I remember that.
I mean, and obviously there were reasons to be pessimistic, but there were like four matches left, and on the final match day, Dortmund still could have won the title, and there were additional defeats after that Bayern match, which had they won, Dortmund could have won the trophy. So,
Yeah, I think back to the Schalke. In my article on the firing, I pointed to the Schalke
oh
loss
yes, yep.
and the Bremen draw. And you flip flop any one of you give a win to any one of those two matches, Dortmund are lifting the title. Like, no questions asked. Dortmund are lifting that title.
So, I think that's going to be the legacy of Lucien Favre here at Borussia Dortmund. I guess I wish him the best of luck at wherever he ends up, unless it's Schalke or Arsenal or somewhere like that.
Yeah, I like you said, I never held anything personal against the guy. He seemed like a nice guy. He seemed a little bit goofy, a little bit introverted. So I guess maybe he couldn't find that, that inner fire that you do see from a Klopp, you see from like a Pep Guardiola, you see from these big time managers. Like they're able to get it done in on the training pitch and the tactics, but they're also to get it done personally with their, you know, larger than life, come on guys, we can do this, you know, personality. You know, I had my fair share of criticisms and critiques of Favre. His over-reliance, I think, on players. He, until this past year, he was rightly criticized for a lack of rotation. You know, and kind of rigidness of his tactics, you know, and of his formation until last year when they switched to a back three. I think that kind of re-galvanized the team for a brief moment, and then COVID happened. Yeah, you know, again, like, I hold no ill will towards him. Seems like a nice guy. Hope he lands on his feet, you know, just not at a rival.
Yep. So let's talk replacements. Right now, yes. Acting manager, or caretaker manager, as it's called, we have Aiden Terzic, who does not have a lot of he was an assistant coach with Borussia Dortmund before the weekend, and he doesn't have any real head coaching experience. I guess I'll just walk through his career for a bit. So he had a pretty uneventful playing career. It looks like he was basically with some like lower league sides. Like,
yeah, he was in the regional Liga.
Yeah.
I think you know, career regional Liga guy.
Yeah, and so a pretty unremarkable career there. Starting in 2010, he was a scout and an assistant coach at Borussia Dortmund's youth academy. So these are obviously the Jurgen Klopp years. So it's an interesting story. So he was an assistant coach of Slaven Bilic at Besiktas between 2013 and 2015. And then he moved to West Ham with Slaven Bilic in 2015. I'm not going to pretend to really know much about Besiktas from 2013 to 2015.
No, me neither.
West Ham in 2015, 2016 were pretty good. They qualified for the Europa League, I believe, in 2015, 2016.
They did, yeah. I think they just snuck into qualification, too.
Yeah.
I can't tell you off the top of my head what place they finished.
The consensus seemed to be that, if I remember correctly, that they were carried a bit by Dimitri Payet.
I remember that very well.
Because it seemed like they would kind of play like crap, and then he would score some wonder goal, and then they would win 1-0 against Tottenham, and I would be very sad. So he was with Slaven Bilic, riding the Bilic train for a few years. But then he returned to Borussia Dortmund in 2018, and he has basically been an assistant coach. It turns out he helped manage or be the head coach for Borussia Dortmund once. I don't know if you'll remember this, but a few years ago, Favre was.
Oh, I remember it. I remember it from the Amazon documentary.
Where Favre was sick, and Terzic had to take over for a day against Hoffenheim. And the result was a 3-3 draw. So obviously that doesn't really tell you anything.
Right. Yeah. That was a weird year. That was a weird second half of the year anyway. So I don't put that on him.
Yeah.
You know, that's a first time stepping in to that managerial position. You know, can't really expect much from him.
But anyway, you know, barring some Hansi Flick-esque phoenix from the ashes. Always at the wheel, Aiden's at the wheel, turn around. I don't...
We're I'm not going to go with that one. I can't find a joke for that.
Terzic turns it around, something like that.
Yeah, there, Terzic turns it around. There we go.
There we go.
We workshopped it.
So So, barring a situation like that, we're not going to see Terzic as the head coach of Borussia Dortmund past the end of this season. And potentially even before the end of the season, I know there's been some talk about somebody like Ralf Rangnick formerly of Red Bull, not just RB Leipzig, but Red Bull, the sporting
Red Bull Sporting.
organization. And then there are also some more long-term replacements that a lot of folks are talking about. One of the most common ones discussed is Marco Rose of Borussia Mönchengladbach. I've seen a few people throw around Julian Nagelsmann, but I think you'll have a few words to say about that. And then there's a good old Jesse Marsch of what is it, Racine, Wisconsin, I think it is.
Racine, Wisconsin. He's currently managing with RB Salzburg, don't
RB
you know?
Salzburg. Oh, that's
RB Salzburg, don't you know?
so yeah, maybe he can squeeze right past us. All right, I'll stop with the Midwest jokes.
Yeah. Well,
Jesse, please come coach us. But
please.
obviously if Dortmund are able to, I don't really see a replacement coming in the middle of the season. I mean, because if I think back to when Peter Bosz was fired in the middle of the season, Stöger stayed around for a long time, probably past the time that most people wanted him here. But obviously, if Dortmund start to free fall under Terzic, we might see a more long-term replacement coming in. But personally, I think the most likely outcome is that a new manager comes sometime in the summer.
Yeah, that's I think that was kind of what was going to happen regardless. I know that Favre's contract was up after this year, and I remember I think reading reports it might have been like Bleacher Report or Goal or even like the English papers. Unless Favre got Dortmund some silverware or made like a run in Champions League or the Pokal, he was not coming back. So I think the plan all along was to look for his replacement in the summer. It's just now that timetable has kind of sped up a bit. And I don't see them hiring anyone long term in the winter. I don't see that happening. So they probably are going to go with Ragnik, or if he does well enough, Terzic could stay until the end of the year. Who knows?
So let's talk about next summer. So
Yes.
I think, personally, it really seems that the three most common names tossed around are Marco Rose, Julian Nagelsmann, and Jesse Marsch. People are begging for Pochettino, and listen, anybody who's read this site knows I'm a huge Tottenham fan and a huge Pochettino fan, and there's nothing I would love more than for Pochettino to come to Dortmund, but it's not going to happen. It's just not. So let's just stop throwing it out. Okay, guys, can we all agree to that? Guys,
Yeah.
please.
I think Poch has Manchester United, written all over him if and when Ole gets the heave ho.
I wish you wouldn't say that.
I don't want
You're
it to
probably
happen.
right, but
I don't want that to happen, but like it feels like it's an all but foregone
I would
conclusion
rather have him go
at this
to
point.
Real Madrid or somewhere like that, but that's okay.
I think a lot of people would.
I
The Glazers and Woodward are just gonna suck the life out of them.
yeah. But regardless, so anyway, apologies for that tangent. So let's talk about Rose, Marsch, and Nagelsmann. To me, Nagelsmann seems happy at RB Leipzig, and he's the least likely of the three.
Yeah, he's not coming here. Like he's building something at Leipzig that not going to make them a flash in the pan. Like, they're looking like they're building themselves into a considerable, consistent title contender. And even if something were to happen at Leipzig, I don't see Nagelsmann staying in Germany for very long. I see him at Real. I see him at, you know, City. He's on the cusp, I think, of being like a tier A football manager in Europe.
Yes, I do agree, and for similar reasons, I think he's, you know, I don't think he's going to make the jump to Borussia Dortmund. I think he's going to go to one of the titans of Europe.
Leipzig to Dortmund. As much as I hate to say it, it seems like a lateral move.
Fan base, please forgive us for saying that. But
my apologies for speaking that into existence.
So let's talk about who I think is the most likely replacement, and that's Marco Rosa. So, you know, Borussia Mönchengladbach, they've kind of been competing with Bayer Leverkusen for that, like, next club after the top three of Bayern, Dortmund, and RB Leipzig. You know, they just made it into the Champions League round of 16 for the first time. They kind of, like, fell backwards into it. It's pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
They're
the player reaction. The player reaction to Inter Shakhtar was very, very heartwarming. Yeah, but you're right. They fell backwards into that Champions League spot.
Yeah, and they're in eighth in the Bundesliga right now. They're also, I mean, they're only 4 points behind Leipzig in fourth, and they're only 2 points behind us in fifth. So, you know, I still think Mönchengladbach have been a decent side, and Marco Rosa is certainly a talented manager. If you ever have a chance to watch Borussia Mönchengladbach, they are very entertaining. You know, they've got Alisson Play, Marcus Thuram, play, I think.
Yeah, they got some good players over there, and they're doing it. You know, smaller budget than the big clubs. Yeah, I like Rosa. I think he's, you know, his personality wise, I think he's a lot different than Favre. I think he's going to get more out of his guys, based on like that motivator, you know, tendency, or that. He's more of a motivator. It's a little, it's close. Like, I know there are 2 points separating themselves, but it's, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, does he want to keep doing what he's doing at Gladbach, building them into that, you know, consistent, you know, they're going to keep challenging, or does he want to take that jump to Borussia Dortmund? And, you know, I don't know what he would choose. I'd like to hope that he chooses Borussia Dortmund. I think, you know, with the greater financial backing of Dortmund, I think, you know, and the attacking talent that we have, I think, you know, he can do it. I think he could end Bayern's iron grip over the Bundesliga.
One can only hope so. Thought that about quite a few managers. To be honest, I never really thought that about Peter Bosch, but I tend to agree. He's only been at Borussia Mönchengladbach for, I believe, a year and a half. Yeah, I think he started in 2019.
We're in year two of Rosa at Gladbach.
Interestingly enough, he was the head coach of Red Bull Salzburg before he arrived at Mönchengladbach, which brings us neatly into Jesse Marsch. So, he is American, as I said earlier. He is from Wisconsin. And
home of the Badgers.
He is definitely, you know, obviously I think the fact that he's American means a lot of outlets like CBS, for example, will overhype him a little bit. But it's hard not to look at Salzburg and not be impressed. It's hard to look at Salzburg and not be impressed. Right. I thought they were very hard done by their pair of results against Bayern in the Champions League, because they were in the same group stage. And they ended up losing both, but I really thought they did not deserve to lose either match. Even though, like, the first one they lost 6-2 or something like that.
Yeah, but that was a bunch of rapid fire goals, you know, in a short period of time. But outside of the, I think like that 10-15 minute period, they were going toe to toe with Bayern, and even in the prior year before that, their Champions League group, they were going toe to toe with Liverpool, you know, the reigning European champions.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, and not only do they challenge Bayern, but it's just, they're so entertaining to watch. They press like mad. They create chances. They score goals. They're fast. They're aggressive. Mm-hmm. They're everything we want here at Borussia Dortmund. And
he hasn't just been doing this at Salzburg, you know, with the Red Bulls, where he cut his teeth as like more of an accomplished manager. He was regularly having them in the title race, you know, with the Supporters' Shield and then into MLS Cup and then the U.S. Open Cup. They were consistently challenging for titles and doing it with incredibly entertaining soccer. So it's not like this is just a flash in the pan manager. He's sustained it.
Yeah, and I mean, so I think he would be, and by the way, he does have a bit of Bundesliga experience. He was an assistant coach under Ralf Rangnick in 2018-19.
Right. Yeah.
So I'd be really excited to see what he can do with Borussia Dortmund. The issue is that his contract ends in June of 2022. So Dortmund would have to find a way to pry him from Salzburg. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on where Julian Nagelsmann goes, if he does stay at RB Leipzig, or if he leaves, in which case Marsh will probably be a prime candidate for the Red Bull machine to replace him with. Mm-hmm. But... you know, if he does become available this summer, say, whether he really wants to, let's just say he really wants to move to Borussia Dortmund for whatever reason, I would be really excited to see it happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against Marsh. My only concern is he's doing it at Salzburg, which is, they are the Bayern Munich of the Austrian Bundesliga. So is it because he has superior players at his disposal at Salzburg comparative to the rest of the Austrian teams? Can he do that at Dortmund? Like, Dortmund have, I think, great players, but can he do that against teams like Bayern, against teams like, you know, Leverkusen have started to get better, against Leipzig? You know, can he do this with, as not the top dog in a league?
You never know for sure until you try. That would be my attitude mm-hmm. towards that.
I agree. For the record, I am in favor of Marsh at Dortmund. I love his personality. I love just the tactics that he brings, the intensity of those tactics that he brings to the Salzburg players. You know, I think he can get a lot out of our guys and have them playing, you know, that heavy metal pressing Borussia Dortmund style soccer of old.
Yeah, and it'll give me opportunities to make cheese curd jokes. One more thing I wanted to
being
mention
up there with the Badgers of Wisconsin
about Marco Rose is that he also has his contract ending in June of 2022. So mm-hmm. Dortmund would need to find a way to get him to terminate his contract. Whether that's through
it'll be tough.
Some financial incentives to Mönchengladbach or something like that. I don't really know. I'm not an expert on how manager contracts work. But I assume.
I'm not the guru on that. So we're gonna have to guess that it's probably just gonna be like a buyout. You know, like they do with college teams, things like that.
Yep.
What that buyout is may determine whether we go after Rosa, Marsh, or a lesser option.
All right. Well, I think for now that's all we've got to talk about. It's Sunday night, so the Champions League draws tomorrow. I'm sure you and I are both looking forward to that. Probably by the time published, we'll know who we're going to play. But yeah, so real quick, I'm trying to wrap this up here, but what are your expectations for the rest of the season now?
Man, that's a tough question. We're in a tough stretch right now, you know. Match-wise, we've got Bremen coming up on short rest, you know, like 3 days, like 2 days after Dortmund sacked Favre. So who knows what that kind of bounce is going to be like. And then it's Wolfsburg, then it's Leipzig, and that's a murderer's row to come right off of a firing. I just hope that we can pull an Arsenal and of under Arsene Wenger, Arsenal under Arsene, and just shoot for fourth. You know, maybe we win the Pokal. Maybe we go on, depending on who we're drawn with, a bit of a run in Champions League. But you just gotta finish in that top four spot. That's all I'm hoping for.
The correct answer was to expect a treble, because as we know, if you sack your manager after a 5-1 loss, you will win the treble.
That's right.
Yep.
Ah, damn it.
Of course, I'm referencing Niko Kovac, the Bayern manager, being fired after losing 5-1 to Frankfurt, Hansi Flick taking over, and the rest is history.
God, I remember when that went down, and then we were going into that match against Bayern last year, like, oh, they got a replacement manager. This is going to be a walk. We're actually going to do it this year. And then we got punked pretty bad.
Yes, we did.
In the House of Horrors, known as Allianz Arena.
All right, well, you know, we'll see how it goes. And maybe, you know, there's always next year. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. once again, I'm Sean Kieser, manager at...
And I'm Nick Kaptos.
At fearthewall.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful week.
We'll always have the Super Cup.
Yep, we will always have the Super Cup.
Bye, everyone. Bye.